We praise you and thank you for allowing us to gather and worship you in Jesus' name. And we thank you for this rain. We need it, Lord, and the reduction in the heat. It helps us get out there and get some of these things done. Father, we praise you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we are blessed and we know it. Yes, we do. If you'll turn to number 8 on your song sheets. Number 8, How Great Is Our God. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Number 9, Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, now I know. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my precious friend, I will worship you until the very end. And this one always touches my heart.
I got a question here.
Sure.
I could have sworn it said my closest friend before. I remember hearing the words when it said my closest friend.
Yes.
My precious friend.
It could have said, well, either way is fine.
You can say closest.
It'll work. Okay, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attend my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Be Thou My Vision, number 11. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I need not, nor men's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, O now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, ruler of all. Hey, let's get a bus and go on the road. Or we could audition for the National Christian Choir. They're taking auditions even now. I think we could get it. Well, and following some of the news reports this week, I think that are very important. ABC, NBC, and CBS, that's CBS, failed to report Muslim motives of terrorist child abuser. The father of a missing three-year-old who was arrested at a New Mexico compound linked to extremist Muslims last week was training children to commit school shootings. Court documents filed on Wednesday revealed, reports Fox News. Prosecutors allege that Siraj Ibn Wahaj, 39, was conducting weapons training on the compound where 11 children were found hungry and living in squalor. They asked Wahaj, who appeared in court on Wednesday, be held without bail. As we continue to get updates on more gruesome discoveries and the squalor living conditions present at a New Mexico compound that included 11 starving children, ages 1 to 15, and the dead body of one child, one key detail had gone totally unreported by the major broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, the ties to radical Islam. Last Friday, the Taos County Sheriff's Office executed a raid on a makeshift compound in New Mexico desert in the search for a four-year-old, Abdul Ghani, who was believed to have been abducted by his father, 39-year-old Siraj Wahaj, in Georgia back in December. According to the Sheriff's Department, what they found was horrific, even third world. The raid was a high-stakes operation that required a tactical approach for our own safety because he had learned that the occupants were most likely heavily armed and considered extremists of the Muslim belief, Sheriff Hogriff explained in a press release. Two men were arrested while three women who were also in the compound were detained and then released. All 11 children were immediately taken to protective custody and later turned over to the state CYFD division, the sheriff's office said. In the case, and if the case couldn't get any grimmer, the New York Post discovered that Wahaj's father, who shares the same name, was named as an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He also was a character witness in the trial of convicted terror plotter Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman. When Wahaj was taken down by authorities, he was armed to the teeth, according to the sheriff's office. I'm not going to continue reading it, but just it shows that the news media doesn't report things as they should be. But we do have sources of information that will teach us the right things. And of course, from Technocracy Today, Patrick Wood speaks technocracy on Chris Ann Hall radio show. It is not adequate to blame the leftists, progressives, Marxists and communists, fascists, etc. These companies are led by technocrats who have a very narrow view of utopia and are intent on focusing it and forcing it on the world. Jury busts unrepentant Monsanto over cancer-causing Roundup weed killer. We certainly have known about that for a long time, haven't we? In a major legal victory by attorney Robert F. Kennedy, isn't that interesting, a jury found that Monsanto acted with malice and oppression and reckless disregard for human life. Monsanto's herbicide Roundup has literally polluted the entire planet in order to for them to market the GMO seeds that are Roundup resistant, In defiance, Monsanto continued to hide behind its scientific studies that claim Roundup glyphosate does not cause cancer. Technocrats have no problem ignoring any evidence contrary to their perceived vision of reality. And of course, those of us that do business with Amazon. Amazon will micromanage employees with augmented reality glasses. I don't even know what that means. Amazon will turn employees into vessels of autonomous guidance if its latest patent is implemented. Micromanagement and direction in the smallest actions promise to dehumanize employees and strip any vestige of privacy. Unfortunately, employees are in no position to fight Amazon. Yeah. And most of us aren't in much of a position to fight some of the biggies. But the Lord knows. And on this August 12th, 2018 AD, I will read my quips and quotes. Are you fighting the waves or riding the current? The surf that distresses the ordinary swimmer produces in the surfer the super joy of going, clean through it. God fights for us. Sometimes he wants us to simply be still and let the current have its way with us. He gently whispers to us about the waves of life. Stop fighting and instead learn to ride them. Let them take you where I want you to go. Lie in the boat and ride it out with me. Through me, you can experience peace and even joy in tribulation. And I know that to be true. Books can inspire you, but the Bible can transform you. And there's a Hawaiian proverb, Ika ia no ka lo e ike kuahu. Can you repeat that after me, please? Yeah. An expert is recognized by the altar he builds. It is what one does and how well he does it that shows whether he's an expert. And now we have a new illness. It's called TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. It rarely kills, but it wounds, and it might be fatal to the Democrat, I think it's called Democratic, but Democrat crusade to take back the House. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry if you don't like my honesty, but to be fair, I don't like your lies. The late Leonard Ravenhill, I always enjoyed reading his books. Quit playing, start praying. Quit feasting, start fasting. Talk less with men, talk more with God. Listen less to men, listen to the words of God. Skip travel, start travail. And Theodore Roosevelt once said about the man in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly. If he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly. In an empire of lies, the truth is treason. You can't go back and change the beginning. But you can start where you are and change the ending. That was said by C.S. Lewis, the great Christian apologist. Be a voice, not an echo. And this is a good one. Don't judge someone just because they sin differently than you. And with that note, I'd ask you to take your Bibles in hand. And we will look at a couple of passages of Scripture. If you care to turn with me to Isaiah 33:22. And I'll read it for us from the English Standard Translation. That's Isaiah 33:22. And I've used this numerous times for a proof text. And saying that Jesus will have no other king but King Jesus. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. As I said, that's Isaiah 33:22 from the English Standard Translation. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. So when people say to me, where do you get that no other king but King Jesus? Well, there's a good place to get it right there. And now, if you will, and we'll read this all together. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And of course, chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians comes after chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Who'd like to start reading? Let's see how many verses we got here. We have 17 verses. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, so let the first person read 5, and the rest of us will read 4. And I'll be the last person to read.
I'll start.
Okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. From the English Standard Version. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 from the English Standard Version.
And continuing in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10.
Okay.
And this is 2 Corinthians from St. James, King James. 11 through 15. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Tro, as to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Corinthians 2, chapter verses 11 through 15.
Can we just finish off the last two?
Sure.
Corinthians 2... New English Standard, English Standard Version, I said New International Version. Verses 16 to 17. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like many, we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. That was from the English Standard Version. Chapter 2, verses 17 through, or 16 to 17.
Well, praise God for the reading of His Word. I guess my math was not quite up to standard there. That's all right. But we got the job done. And I want to use as a theme, taken from verse 11, do you know His devices? Do you know his devices? And of course, the verse reads, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Of course, depending on the translation, Matt was reading from the King James, and so it's a little bit different. I think the standard might say devices, or it might say designs. The issue of saying, okay, you're saying that Satan has designs on us? Oh yeah, he definitely does. And you have to think about what those designs are that he has on us and what he's trying to do to us. And of course, convince us that he doesn't exist and convince us, as many people will say, oh, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Satan. Well, the Bible talks about Satan, so the issue of believing in Satan is not necessarily the situation of saying, well, if you believe in him, then that gives him greater power. No, it's not like that. It's a supernatural power that he has and only can be defeated by the Lord himself. Not that they're equal. They're not. And of course, as we go back to the verse in Isaiah 33, verse 22, the Lord is everything. Satan is not our lawgiver. He's not our king. Although there are some people, of course, that declare that they worship Satan and they follow Satan. What's going to happen to them? Not good, obviously. But there are many of us that in one time or another can say, well, we fell into a trap, if you will, that Satan devised for us. And of course, you know, anyone that knows about trapping, whether you're trying to trap animals for furs or for food or something like that, most of the animals get pretty smart pretty fast about traps and smelling them and seeing them and so forth and so on. And of course, when we put a trap out, I mean, we can just put it on the pathway, but for the most part, what makes a trap effective is baiting it. And so what is it that Satan does to bait the trap? And as I've often said, we shouldn't spend too much of our time studying Satan and his designs or devices. We need to study more about the things of the Lord and the Lord's ways and the Lord's protections for us and so forth and so on. But in the same way, every soldier that warreth, and that's a scripture of 2 Timothy, certainly pays attention to what the enemy is doing and knows what the enemy's ways are, so that we don't fall in those traps and so we don't soil our testimony, if you will. It's interesting, too, if you look in verse 9. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. The idea of being tested in things, and a friend of mine last night was talking to him, and he said he was talking to this waitress, and she said, we have rules here. And he said, oh, that's not good. But the truth of the matter is there are rules here on this earth, and you're going to keep the right ones or you're going to, or not. And if you break the rules, and of course the testing, just the same as I can remember testing certain boards. I had a deck at a house that I lived in that I went out and I said, some of these boards look pretty bad. So I tested them and said, I'm going to go test them because I wouldn't want to think somebody comes and visiting me is standing on the deck and they fall through it. So I went out and I started jumping on individual boards and sure enough, I broke quite a few of them. So by testing it, I found out what I had and what I didn't have. And so the testing, of course, because it's not a mean thing when the apostle says here, and of course the apostle Paul, that I was testing you and that whether you are obedient in everything. And so if I ask myself, am I obedient in everything that the Lord asked me to do? Well, in some cases, I'm not even sure what things I'm not being obedient in. But I'm sure I could say that I'm probably not being 100% obedient, because who is? It's a pretty hard thing to do, considering the fact we have ingrained in us our rebellion against God. We call that the sin of Adam that's born into people. Of course, some people don't agree with that, but that is scripturally what is said. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. And just as you shared, Rich, about these attorneys, you know, the fact is some people just are going to say, you're not going to outwit me. I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep hammering on you. You're not going to get the best of me. You're not going to outwit me. And so that's a very important determination, just like in some of my quips and quotes that I brought to you. Books can inspire you, but the Bible can transform you. And of course, the issue is, I'm sorry if you don't like my honesty, but to be fair, I don't like your lies. Well, who is the author of lies in the first place? we don't make up lies ourselves. I mean, the enemy does that. He is the author of lies. So, but thanks be to God, verse 14, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And I think what a great metaphor that is. You know, a metaphor, a simile, or maybe even both. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I was quoting certain scriptures to him. And I told him, you know, a companion verse to this one, which says Christ always leads in triumphal procession of the last part of the 8th chapter of Romans. It says we are more than conquerors. Now, it doesn't say we're more than conquerors on our own. We're more than conquerors in Jesus. And so the idea of saying, okay, the Lord is the one giving me the armor, but I got to put it on. The Lord is giving me the sword of truth, but I have to use it. And of course, the issue is, do we use the things that the Lord has given us? In many cases, they're not being used. And then the enemy gets the better of us. And so if we make it, it's not so much that we're out to fight Satan. That could be a trap in itself because we can't fight him alone. But it's more to say, I want to be totally obedient to the Lord. That in itself is a great weapon to be used against the enemy. Just the same like in any situation. And we watch something last night where a guy was told, watched it on TV or on a movie we had, he was told, now don't go up there and don't get involved, just stay back here, we'll take care of it, we're the pros, we know how to do it. Well, he wouldn't listen. And he went up and he jeopardized the lives of other people, and eventually he got shot himself and hurt, not mortally, but I mean definitely did some damage. Because what? And he did apologize afterwards. He said, you know what, my own way got the better of me. I mean, I just, you know, lost it. But see, yeah, you lost it, but the enemy found it and used it against you. That's like saying, okay, the enemy doesn't have a weapon, and you lost your pistol, you lost your rifle, and the enemy found it and he used it against you. And of course, if you've ever been like me watching cowboys and Indian movies and all this different stuff, and it reminds me of like Custer at Little Bighorn, that there were Indians actually willing to die just so other Indians could take the weapons of the dead soldiers. And before long, what happened is here's these Indians who had just bows and arrows. Now they've got rifles and pistols with ammunition because they were willing to die to get those weapons and use them. And so Custer and his men were completely demolished. Very sad situation because they did not really understand the enemy they were fighting and the determination of the enemy to beat them. Do we understand the devices of the enemy? Do we know Satan's devices? We're supposed to, and the Lord wants to help us with that. And of course, I like the imagery of the fact that, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. The enemy stinks. He smells like fire and brimstone. He stinks. But the Lord has a beautiful fragrance for us. Think about what's the nicest smelling thing that you ever have smelled. And I think back, probably for me, some of the flowers in Hawaii, like the plumeria or the mylilei, and mylilei and also gardenias. I always enjoyed just smelling those things. And the more that I smelled that fragrance, the more my spirit was lifted. You know, and it's the same thing with the Lord. The more we're smelling the fragrance, if you will, and that's a metaphor, the more we smell the fragrance of the Lord, the more our spirit is lifted, and the more we feel like being able to be more a conqueror than being defeated.
I always enjoy the smell of the AC unit at my grandmother's house.
Really?
It is a comforting smell from Baltimore.
Yeah, when it's really hot, it's a comforting smell. That's true, I can understand that. I'll see if I can find that verse that talks about peddlers peddling the gospel. Yeah, there it is in the last part, 17. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. And I guess I'd say I'm not fully sure I understand what the peddlers of God's word are, but I suppose there are people that are out there. Some have said television evangelists and whatever, not all of them obviously, but some that just, you know, they're just selling the word of God. It's not like they really have obedience to the Lord, not that they're really bringing the fragrance of the Lord, they're just selling the word of God, peddling it. That's the job they do. And of course, as I answered a friend of mine yesterday who brought up some things, I said, this is not just what I do for a living. This is a mission to me. It's my ministry. It's a mission. It's a passion. You know, so it's not like, gee, I have to get up and go tell people about the Lord. And yesterday I had the opportunity to make contact with my neighbor across the street, my new neighbor, which that was definitely divinely inspired how the Lord opened the door. And it's not that I got to say anything necessarily about the Lord yet, but it was an open door, I mean, for some friendship and a relationship like that. And the Lord worked that out. And the interesting thing was, as I walked over to her house and stood there, I felt stronger than I felt all day. Because, and the Lord was strengthening me to do His will. And so when we think about, do you know the devices of the enemy? We need to find out what those devices are and make sure we're not they're not being used against us. And when we see that they are being used against us, how do we combat the devices of the enemy? By being more obedient to the Lord, not less. You know, one of the things that most people that are trained in the military like that, when it comes down to the enemies attacking, that's not the time to bury your grievances with one another. That's when to pull together. And it's interesting, the first part of the chapter here is describing somebody that has obviously gone astray from one way or another. And being told, and this is more why we say the church is more like a family than an institution, that when this person has been confronted as a brother, in this case as a brother, could be as a sister also, and they have repented of their mistakes, their sins, or whatever, being caught in Satan's trap, then help them after that. Express your love to them so that they don't become despondent. Like many people will say, my life is over and I might as well go out and, you know, finish the job. No, that's why people surround you with love, saying, okay, we've all had this problem one time. If it wasn't this problem, it's another problem. We've all had one problem or sin or another. So we do understand, and we just want to let you know you're loved. And, you know, these things are forgiven. And that's why the apostle says, what you forgive, I will forgive. And, of course, we say, how is it possible that he could say that? What you forgive, and, of course, what you forgive on earth and in the Lord's Prayer, that which we forgive on earth will be forgiven in heaven, and that which is forgiven in heaven will be forgiven on earth. I mean, that understanding is important there. Now, we cannot forgive sins of other people. They have to repent for themselves. It's not like we can repent for them. But the Lord wants us to surround people and make sure, okay, like all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that Romans chapter 6 says that, and in chapter 3 as well. So, once again, just want to remind us of our theme, do you know his devices? Well, you certainly should. This week, I heard and saw actually a YouTube video that really touched my heart. I sat there and actually cried, or as they say in Hawaii, I dropped tears over this. It's called The Lighthouse. And actually, I posted the lyrics of it and posted the YouTube on my Facebook page. And lots of people responded and said amen. Lots of people responded and said, thank you very much, Pastor, for all the history lessons you give us. I said, I'm glad to do it. It takes time to prepare them and put them together, but I'm glad I do it. And we're looking to have 1,000 subscribers, and then we can have our own YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel already, but with one that wouldn't have any advertiser and that kind of stuff on it. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light. 'Tis a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? And I think the answer to that, from my standpoint, is where would this ship be? Crashed on the rocks, that's why. Okay, well, Father, we're glad to worship in your presence. We're glad to study your word. And we know that you have instructed us to learn the devices of Satan. Help us in our week ahead. And of course, we don't want to be a voice. We want to be a voice. We don't want to be an echo. We know we can't go back and change the beginning, but we certainly can start where we are and change the ending. And with this we pray in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. We will have no other king but King Jesus. Amen.